Tunisia is dealing with some serious problems of its own. The president declared a state of emergency after Islamic militants shot to death 38 tourists at a Tunisian beach resort last month. That followed another high-profile attack on tourists at the Bardo National Museum in March. As Marine Olivesi reports, the government is trying desperately to put a stop to local recruitment by the likes of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. So it's shutting down mosques believed to be hotbeds for radical groups.
During Ramadan, hundreds gather every night for the reciting of the Quran at the Zaytuna Mosque, the second oldest in North Africa. They sit and pray around 160 columns brought from the ruins of the ancient city of Carthage on Tunisia's coast. Zaytuna has shaped the brand of Islam, embraced by most Tunisians, for more than 1,300 years. The mosque hosted one of the original and greatest universities in the history of Islam, and its influence has stretched from Andalusia to Cairo. Anyway, in January 2012, a sort of hostile takeover happened here. These two shopkeepers had a front row seat. They sell birth and wedding gifts right in front of the mosque.
Yeah, he said actually they assaulted one guy. He was like the manager. By force, they took the alt keys and they like occupied the mosque. He said it's just like that, you know. They assaulted the guy, they took the keys and like declared themselves the new managers of the mosque.
The imam of Tunisia's most famous mosque was kicked out in a matter of hours. And it gets more surreal. A retired TV repairman moved in, changed the locks, and started preaching. It was a high-profile case, but not an isolated one. Nearly 200 imams across the country were pushed out around the same time. Fadel Ashour used to work at Zaytuna Mosque until it changed hands. He went on to set up a national union of imams to report assaults against religious personnel. He claims that more than 1,000 mosques were attacked in the months after the revolution. That's roughly one out of five mosques in Tunisia. Imams were accused of being loyal to Ben Ali, the deposed president. Ashour says radical groups jumped on the chance to replace them.
From the revolution till the elections, you had a gap, sort of a security vacuum where nobody was, you know, security forces were not able to implement security measures, etc., inside mosques. This allowed these guys to take control of the mosque. By the time the elections had come and the security was more stable, the Ministry of Religious Affairs was just basically slacking in their work and were not taking the necessary actions and were not protecting their own imams.
A moderate Islamic party won Tunisia's first free elections. Ashour says new authorities let self-declared imams remain in place, and unlicensed mosques flourished. Ashour says anyone with money and a plot of land could build one, but it wasn't at all random. He says radical Islamists made smart choices.
They're very strategic in where they choose to set their mosques. You know, they set their mosques in new neighborhoods where mosques have not yet been built. By the state. I mean, obviously, these guys are very influential in the poorer neighborhoods. It's a lot easier to get to those young men who don't have much, and basically they convince them that all of this misfortune in life is due to them being far from their religion, and that the right way to go is jihad.
Scores heeded the message. An estimated 3,000 Tunisians, possibly more, have left for Syria since 2012. Mohamed Iqbal Ben Rejeb is the president of an organization helping families whose relatives have gone to fight. His own brother did the same. Iqbal says nearly all of them were radicalized inside mosques, in plain sight, not hidden away in front of their computers.
Since the revolution, imams have been on the loose, and look at the damage. Thousands in Syria, hundreds dead. These imams and all the politicians who let them preach, they're sending their children to good schools in Europe or in the U.S. Meanwhile, they're pushing normal citizens to wage a war that's not ours.
A secular party came into power last November. At the Zaytuna Mosque, the self-declared imam was forced to leave 3 years after his takeover. But in lesser-known and more radical mosques, Iqbal says many remained. The two recent terrorist attacks in Tunisia have put more pressure on the authorities. Gunmen in Bardo and Sousse are thought to have attended these illegal mosques. The government has now ordered 80 of them to shut down. In a small town near Sousse, police moved in recently to stop one hardliner from preaching. Hundreds took to the streets to protest his removal. Fadel Achour, who used to work at the Zaytouna Mosque in central Tunis, says clamping down on radical preachers will anger and marginalize their followers, but it's worth it.
He says the thing that a mosque provides you, that secret hideouts wouldn't, is a place to preach from, is a place to recruit from. Whereas if they're sitting in some secret homes, the only people who are going to join you there are people who are already with you. So the idea of recruitment, then that's it, that's over, and that's what we're trying to stop.
No one wants imams to be forced to read from prepared government scripts, like the old regime used to. But Achour and others say there should be red lines, like enticing young people to kill or lose their own lives in Syria or on a Tunisian beach. For The World, I'm Marine Olivesi in Tunis.